25, starting at verse 14. I'm a little bit energetic tonight. I'm not on any medication. Like I said last time, I don't do drugs or anything, so I'm very hyper, though I haven't had any caffeine, so it must be natural. Right? So that's going to make this whole thing, the sermon, interesting. Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to read from verse 14 down to verse 27, and just ask God to help us and give us grace and minister to us. Do you have that verse, Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14? Everybody has it? I want you to read it with me so you won't think that I'm making things up. Amen? Starting in verse 14, it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like, or is as a man traveling into a far country who called his servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to the other he gave 2, and to the other he gave 1, to every man according to his several ability. Straightway he took his journey," and straightway he took his journey. In verse 16, "Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. So he gained 5 more. And likewise, in verse 17, "He that received the 2, he also gained 2, another 2. In verse 18, "But he that received the 1 went and digged into the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, and he reckoneth with them," or he called them to account. In verse 20, "And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents. This is the King James Version, so it's kind of a little bit reading. So it's, you know, it's kind of like it's not the same kind of English, you know what I mean? So verse 20, it said, "And he that received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more." In verse 21, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou faithful, a good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." In verse 22, "He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." In verse 24, great, I'm still on track. "Then he which had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou sowest not and gathering where thou hast not sown. And I was afraid, and I went and hid the talent in the earth. And lo, there thou hast that is thine. The Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I strew not or strawed not. Thou oughtest therefore to have put the money to the exchangers, and then at my coming, I should have received my own plus usury or plus interest." Let's pray and ask God's grace. God, we come before your throne humbly, God, and we ask for your presence. We ask for the Spirit of God to, God, move upon every heart, my heart, and everyone who is listening. God, for your anointing and your favor, that you would open our eyes and our understanding, and that you would give us wisdom in accordance to your word. And Father, by your Spirit, that you would move upon every heart and every mind according to your purpose, God, to draw us unto your purpose, that we may do your will according to your purpose and will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God is good. How do you like that verse? One of the first things I want to mention in here, in the book, that the book of Matthew mentions, is that God gives to everyone. I want you to think about this. To every person, and I'm not just talking about finances, I'm talking about all, and we know this verse is dealing with the issue of money, but we're also dealing with the issue that God blesses with different types of gifts in his church. And he gives to all of us a particular blessing. Right? I remember when Janae was here, when Janae was playing the piano before they went back to Killeen, I was telling her, I am praying that God would give us an empowerment and an ability to do and play music, to give us wisdom, to give us discernment, and all of that good stuff. God is the one who gives to us for the purpose of supporting and encouraging each other inside the church. Do you believe that? Do you believe that people have a spirit of not discouragement, but some people have that too, but we want to look at the godly gifts. Do you believe that God gives people a spirit of encouragement to encourage us? Do you believe that God gives people a spirit of wisdom, right? In the book of Exodus, starting in chapter 28, verse 3, it says that God is talking to the people of Israel, and they're making the garments for Aaron. And he said, I have given certain people within the congregation a spirit of wisdom to accomplish the making of Aaron's garments. And then in Exodus chapter 31, starting in verse 3, now you could go there if you want, but you can write them down. He says, now I'm giving the workmen who are going to be responsible for creating all the different ornaments that were required as God required them to be inside the tabernacle, the metalwork and the plates. He says the bowls and the lavender, where the priests had to wash and how they make all the actual tent and all the gold. He said, I'm going to give. He said, I've placed a spirit of wisdom upon these people to accomplish the task. Right? So as we see here today, God has given us a portion of his spirit so that we can accomplish something for him in his kingdom. If you want to turn there with me, Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 4. We're going to read all the way down to verse 8. It says, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord and one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. This is Paul talking to the Ephesians. Verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Did you read that in verse 7? I'm going to read it again. It says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of God. Wherefore, saith he, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. The verse begins to go on, and it begins to make more emphasis on the pastors and teachers and evangelists for the edification of the church. But we just read that he gives all men gifts. Am I right? So though he may start talking about pastors in this instance, he wants us to make sure, God is making sure, because sometimes we say, the only person who has the gifts is the pastor. The only person who has the gifts are the teachers. The only person who has the gifts are the evangelists. The only person who has the gifts are those who are actually in ministry in church. That is not what the scripture said, though they begin to talk about that at the end. He said he gave all men, am I right? Gifts. Why? For the edification of the church, for the building of the work of Christ. Sometimes people, they say, oh, Mark, oh, my goodness, you play that piano well. You know what? I say thank you, but I always say thank God. That's what I say. You know why? Because I ask God all the time, God, help me in my fingers. Help me in my finger. God, give me room. Some people think that because I'm, black, I am, that, I have rhythm. I don't. Right? My wife, who happens to be a white Caucasian, when you guys get home, don't you guys do silly things in front of your wives? I do. So I try to dance. And so I did a dance for her this morning before I came to church. And I looked at her and I said, you've never seen anything like that before, have you? She said, no, I haven't. And I never will. You are still the whitest man that I know. That's what she tells me. So I asked God, I said, hey, I need rhythm. I need a spirit of understanding. And I'm not joking, a spirit of understanding in music. God, I need to broaden my talents. Why? Because the talent, we know we're talking about gifts, but now we just found out, or money in this scripture, but now we just found out that God gives gifts to people for the edification of the church so that I can play for his glory. Right? Are you with me? So God gives us abilities. You know that God gives you abilities too? Right? You say, well, what is it? Well, what does God put upon your heart? Yeah, that's a true statement, right? If God gives abilities, he puts it upon the heart for us to accomplish something, for us to do something for his kingdom. He is the one that empowers, and he is the one that gives the ability. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have to practice. That doesn't mean that we don't study. But it does mean that if God gives a gift, that we need to begin to apply that gift to us so that we can develop it. Can you say amen? The guy who received the 5 talents, he didn't wait for God. He said, hey, God gave him 5. He said, here, go do something with this. I'm going to give this to you. I'm bestowing it upon you. This is a gift. He took that gift and he applied it, right, with prayer and consideration, and God prospered him with it. And he was able to give God back something. Can you say amen? The guy with the 2 talents did the same thing. He took what God gave him and he embellished it. He increased it. He magnified it. Can you say amen? Oh, we all have gifts. We all have something that God has placed in our hearts and placed in our minds that he wants us to accomplish for his kingdom, for the edification of the church, for the support of the church. That could be money, that could be wisdom, that could be the ability to administer things, that could be the ability to organize stuff. Can you say amen? That could be the ability of how to care for children inside the Sunday school or in the nursery. That could be the ability to, believe it or not, to even clean good. Right? Because people, when they come into the bathrooms, they want to go into a clean bathroom. I don't know about you, but I do. Amen. Let's move to the second one. This becomes really important because as you look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 19, the Bible says after a long time, the Lord came back to those servants and he said, I want to reckon with them, or I want to hold them to an account. Right? One day, right, we may all die here, and someone else will be here. But one day, the Bible says, how many of you believe in the resurrection, that one day we're going to be raised from the dead? Right? You know, the same in Corinthians, people ask me the same thing. How can you believe in something so silly? That's what the Corinthians says too. How can you believe in something so silly? How are we going to come back? Are we going to come back like this? As you know, I don't have any clue how we're going to come back. But Paul said there is an earthly body and there is a spiritual body. Can you say amen? There is a celestial body that we look up in the skies. And then we see there are bodies of animals. Everybody has a different type of body. But when Jesus comes back, he's going to come back and give us the body that he wants us to have. He's going to resurrect us, right? Paul says, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall be what? Changed. Right? Then the Bible says we're going to meet the Lord in the air, and forevermore we shall be there with him. Everybody with me so far? So now we see that God says, hey, we're going to bring an account. God is serious about the talents or gifts or abilities that he gives to you and I. He is serious about how we use them. He is serious about the things that he places upon our heart. You know, John was talking about we're getting ready to move into another building, and I believe that we're going to grow. As a matter of fact, that we're on outreach with Adrian, and I was with Adrian, and I told Adrian, you can ask, I said, Adrian, I really believe God's going to bring a whole bunch of Spanish people into our church. I wasn't just joking. I said, I believe we're going to get all sorts of people, but I'm just having this sense. I said, this is going to be a whole bunch of Spanish people in the church, and we need to be ready for them. Can you say, look at that. We got one amen. Why? Because we're going to need people to help interpret it. Are you with me? We're going to need people to help talk to them. We're going to be people, when you take them out, you want to be able to communicate with them. Otherwise, you'll just be sitting there like, can you say amen? I told him that. I said, we're going to get a lot more people coming into the church. And you know what? It's not just people of Mexican descent or Spanish descent. It's going to be people, white people, black people, green people, Korean people, Chinese people. We're going to get them all coming into the church. Can you say amen? But will we be able to use our gift that God has given us to help them stay? Are we going to be willing to say, you know what? God, you have given me an ability of fellowship that I can communicate with people. I can actually love people. I can actually draw people to me to help them live for God. Will you be able to use that gift? Will you use the gift? Because there are people in here who have it. Amen. You say, amen. I don't know who you are, but I wish I did. Because I would look at you specifically, but I don't know. So I have to look at everybody now. There are people here who have understanding and wisdom who can encourage people to help them live for God by showing them in the scripture. Hey, this is what the Bible says. It's not just the pastor. Right? God says, I'm giving the Spirit of God. He didn't give it to Moses in Exodus. He said, I've called men. I'm giving them the spirit of wisdom so they can accomplish my work. I'm giving them the spirit. He didn't give it to Moses so that they can build the tabernacle. You know, God gives it to us so that we can help build his church. And the Bible says one day he's going to settle accounts. Can you say amen? So we won't be standing before the judgment seat like the great white throne. I have this. I wrote some of this down. I got tired of writing, so the other ones I did my sermon backwards, by the way. I did it in the middle, then I did the end, then I went to the front, and I was like, I'm tired of writing. Romans chapter 14, starting in verse 2, look at this. It says, but why doest thou judge thy brother, or why doest thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Now, he's talking to Christians. So we know that that seat is the Bema seat of Christ, where we stand before God, where God determines what? What's going on at the seat? We're already in heaven. What's going on at this particular? Because we've already made it to heaven. We've made it to the rapture already. You know what it is? Is rewards. Pastor, what's his name? Pastor Chi, right? The evangelist who was just here, he mentioned something about it. He says, some people are going to stand before this judgment seat and all their works are going to be burned up. All that they've done, all the good that they did are going to be burned up. Why? Because of motivation. They did it for the wrong reason. Some people are going to stand before this, and just like this verse of scripture that we just read, they're going to say, well done, you faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You have done with little. Now I'm going to give you a whole bunch more. Am I right? Am I just making this up? So God is going to give us rewards. God is either going to give us a reward at this time based upon what we did with what he gave us. Are you with me? So God is the giver, and he says, now do something for my kingdom, And one day I'm going to come back and I'm going to give you a reward. Or, on the other side, because this is a reckoning, one day I'm going to come back and I'm going to show you what you've lost. We may make heaven, but we'll lose something. Paul says we barely, scarcely made it into the kingdom of God as though we were going through fire. Are you with me? That's not what God wants for us, but he has to give us both. Right? Because he's not a liar, right? Can you say amen? He's like, it's only blessing. Well, there's a lot going on here. Because now God is concerned about not that you're saved and covered by the blood of Jesus, but now what are you doing with the gifts and abilities that he has placed inside of you? In me. Can you say amen? I'm concerned about. I really am. I'm concerned about what is, you know, am I doing the right thing? I'm concerned about keeping my heart right as I'm using these gifts, as I'm using whatever God has given me, finances, I like to read, then all of that. What am I doing with this in order to help the kingdom of God, or am I only using it for my own selfish growth? What am I doing? Am I reaching out to other people to help them live for God? This is what it's all about, guys. It's all about us helping other people live for God and us encouraging each other to continue to live for God, because sometimes we can get discouraged. Before I left the house today, I got up. I was listening to this the podcast on forensics. And when I got up, I looked at my wife and I said, I got to go, hon. That's exactly what I did. And she started laughing her head off. And I said, honey, sometimes I'm just tired, right? But I want to be at church, right? Because somebody, as they always say, somebody is looking at you. Can you say amen? And I always say, don't look at me for crying out loud. But you know what? It doesn't matter whether I want them to look at me or not. Somebody's watching how I live for God. Somebody's listening to what I say about God. Somebody's listening to how I praise God. Somebody's listening and watching how I outreach and what the things that... Somebody's watching all of this. And I'm either encouraging, using the gifts that God gave me, or I am discouraging. Amen? We're going to be over pretty soon. 2 Corinthians, starting in chapter 5, verse 9. Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's the same seat, the bema seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to as he has done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. You know, when I just want Jesus to look at me and say, you can't dance. You may not have a lot of rhythm. I must have some kind of rhythm. I play the piano. Right. But you may not have that, you know, traditional, you know what I'm talking about? You know, I see that, look at that. I can't even do it. But you've used what I gave you to move the kingdom of God forward. Everybody with me? Quickly, we're going to go over rewards. The Bible says that God is faithful, that he is not unrighteous to forget our labor of love. Are you with me? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, it says, God is not unrighteous to forget our labor and our work, or the rest of that, our labor of love. Two different words. The word work there in the Bible is that what we are employed to do, as in what we are actually doing, the labor that we're actually accomplishing. I'm moving chairs around. I'm cleaning the bathroom, whatever. It's the work. The word labor is a little different. This is a Greek word that talks about God's going to reward us for not only the work that we do, but for the troubles that we suffer in accomplishing his work. How many know that we get stressed out sometimes? I'm not talking about the persecution. Now, persecution is, we may get that, but we don't get much persecution here in the U.S. right? Somebody slams the door in our face. No, but they're killing people in other countries, right? As you heard this morning, if you were in the Sunday school, they're locking people up and breaking into the church military style with guns and everything else, threatening them in different countries. They're not doing that here. Can you say amen? We can actually talk about our leaders without them, okay, we're going to send the army down there. We're going to show you. We don't really suffer persecution here, right? Somebody slammed the door. That's about it. Maybe somebody may punch you. I don't know. I've heard that one time since I've been saved where a friend of mine was outreaching and the guy punched him. I said, what did you do? He said, I just walked away. I was like, what? Oh, no, too, because somebody did that to you, too. I'm sorry for pointing you out, but it was you, right? Yeah, he gave, well. And I said, I don't know what I would have done. I may be small, but I have a little attitude sometimes, right? So I told him. And people look at me like, oh, you wouldn't do anything. I said, no, I don't know what I would have done. Right? But God says he's going to reward us for our troubles, the stresses that we go through. And that's what this word, you have to look it up. If you look up in the Greek, you'll find out it's nothing about labor. It's all the internal stuff that we have to deal with and that we do at times deal with to do something for God. Can you say amen? God will reward us for our giving in Mark chapter 9:41. And in Matthew chapter 10:42, he says, I will reward you for the smallest things that you do in the kingdom of God. If you give a person a cup of water in my name, I'm going to reward you. Isn't that good? This is my motivation, like, okay, well, maybe I should just keep on going. Can you say amen? God rewards us for our prayer, Matthew 6:6. He gives us rewards for our prayer, for praying for other people, for praying for the church, for praying for pastor, for praying for different cities, so that it's by prayer that the hand of God is moved. Right? People say, well, God can move by himself. He has not chosen to do it that way. He has chosen to do it for us to pray to move his hand. Did you hear what I just said? Because he can save everybody he wants. God can evangelize this whole city. But he doesn't. He has chosen us to do it. Can you say amen? We have that gift. Matthew 6, starting in verse 2, going through verse 4, the Bible says he rewards us for our giving, all the giving that we've done. And we're not talking about quantity. We're talking about giving of the heart. God says, I will give it back to you. Can you say amen? God rewards us for our fasting in Matthew 6, 16 through 18. For our humbling of ourselves to pray to God to not only help us, to help others. He says, I will reward you for that. He says, no one will lose their reward for anything that we do. And it's kind of funny because it's God who gives us the ability to accomplish the task in the first place. But yet he says, I'm going to reward you for it because you know what? We can always say what? No. Can you say amen? But he's like, I'm hoping you don't, because you're going to be losing out on a massive opportunity to get something, not only here, but even when you get to heaven. It says in Ephesians 6:8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall receive of the Lord. God wants to give it back to you. He wants to give you a reward back. You want to bless financially? God wants to give you more financial blessing. Are you with me? You want to do something for somebody, be a support to a brother or sister, help them, encourage them, take them out. God says, I'm going to give it back to you, not only in this life, but even in the next life. I'm going to say, well done, you faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Can you say amen? God is good, isn't he? Sometimes I wish I could just die right now and go to heaven. I do. But I don't think that's going to happen right now. And that was kind of funny. And when somebody on my job asked me, because I told somebody on my job that, and they were like, are you depressed? I said, no, I'm not depressed. I'm looking forward to what's going to be after I'm dead. Because I have a hope. Can you say amen? We have a hope. Amen. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. In the book of Revelations, it talks about all the things that God is going to be giving us. He's going to give us a new name, clothe us with robes of righteousness, crown us according to our labor for what we have done for his name's sake. Then we get to enjoy all the beauty. You know, I don't know what heaven looks like, but the Bible tells us that it has a lot of gold up there. Right? That's what it says. Am I right? It has a lot of clear waters. There's some tasty fruits. I don't know. It's going to be whatever. I don't even care. I just want to be. I made it with Jesus, right? And I want to be able to say, I want Jesus to look at me and say, well done. I don't want him to look at me sometimes as my mom and dad would look at me with disappointment when I did something wrong. I still love you. I'm not going to kick you out of the house, but can you say amen? Why don't we bow our heads? God is a wonderful God, and we so thank him for his goodness and his mercy. I know I do. Amen. We're going to, just before we move on, extend an invitation to those who may not be saved and may not know the love of Jesus and the goodness of God. We were in outreach and talking with someone, and Adrian was speaking Spanish to him. And so I'm standing there listening to him, and I listened to what he was saying. And all of a sudden, I just got really stirred to talk to him in Spanish. And I did. And when I did talk to him about, I said, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of knowledge we have about Jesus. It doesn't matter the we can read our Bibles back and forth. What really matters is, do we have a changed life? And so I began to witness him as for a small amount. Thank you, Adrian, for helping me. Just to share with him, it's not about religion. It's about Jesus Christ coming into the life, and it's about Jesus Christ changing the heart and changing the mind according to his purpose. I shared with him when I was saved. When I was unsaved, I remember going to church. I remember being in a church choir. It was a Baptist church. I was young, but I didn't even go to church. I went to church because I liked the music. I went to church because I liked the clap. And I went to church because maybe I thought I could get, hooked up with somebody. But I was a nerd, so it was really for the music. Right? I joined the service, and a friend of mine, Vince Thorngard, began to just share with me about Jesus Christ. And I remember looking at him, and I remember saying, well, I know. And then he started talking about a changed life, which I did not have. He talked about being free from sin, being set free from mental anguish and depressions and hurts. He talked about being delivered, and he talked about an abundant life that Christ gives. And I could only look at him, and I told him, I said, I know what you're saying, but I do not have it. And he said a simple prayer with me. God, come into, I repeated after him, come into my heart, forgive me of my sins. And ever since that day, sitting in that washroom in a military barracks, I have been living for God. Because it's something that is real. A changed life. You're here today. You don't have that life. We may know about Jesus, but we don't have the joy. We may understand our Bibles, but we've never actually repented of our sins. And maybe you're hearing the sound of my voice while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, and you're not saved. You want to say, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want that kind of change. If you raise your hand and put it right back down, all over this place. Amen. We're going to move on. These altars are open. If God has dealt with you by his Spirit, I encourage you to come up and ask God for his grace and his mercy. And we'll stand and sing that song.